Welcome to the Wild Chicago Way, and at 10:23 they let me in, or at least that's what it felt like. I was an officer of the United States government, said you can go, and they'd taken my fingerprints. That was the tricky part as far as I was concerned, because I had to put four fingers on a screen, and then I had to put a thumb, and I had to understand that that was exactly what I was being asked to do when I was... Okay, now, that's that. There'll be messages like that, but no, I'm actually quite ecstatic. I'm quite pleased, relieved. I felt like shouting, hooray, hooray, it's all systems go. It really did feel like as if I was at the customs post.
Passenger Kelly, way 2, traveling on Delta 177 to Atlanta. Please contact your boarding gates 402. Once again, paging passenger Kelly, way 2.
It felt like I was at the customs post at a border, and that these people were really in the front line of protecting America from attack, and that they would have been on some kind of training program, and probably loads and loads and loads of it, but that basically these would be the vital front place to protect America from people coming there with the wrong intentions, shall we say. But I feel so chuffed. They asked me why I was going there, and I said that I was going to visit family.
Passenger Lilia Fernandez, traveling on Delta 177 to Atlanta. Please contact the boarding gate 402.
And that's entirely true. I am. I'm going to stay with family there. I'm going to talk to other people about work, and that's a different issue. But at the same time, I'm not really mainly going. Don't want to give the impression that I'm going there to conduct business, because that could lead to all sorts of complications. But yeah, so I'm kind of breathing a sigh of relief. I don't think my flight takes off for quite a long time, and I'd like to sit down somewhere where I could have I think I'd treat myself to a cup of coffee if I could. I'm in such a dither that I'm walking through a place here which has got tiles on the ground, and there are people sitting on the left and right, and couples and on smartphones and stuff, and there's a place here called Irish Meadows where people can have tea and beers and sandwiches and everything. The Dublin Airport Authority has Charities of the Year 2014, and let me tell you what they are. They are the Special Olympics Ireland, so that's one charity. I don't know if it has other charities. It looks, oh yes. The other Charity of the Year 2014 is Cystic Fibrosis Ireland. So they're the two. There's a big glass jar here that says donations, so I guess they split them. And there are, I see a £5 note in there. I see a 10 euro bill in there. I see $10 in there. £5, $20. No, it isn't all that. There's loads and loads of coins in there. I see 50 cents. I see dollars. I see 50 pence. Currency of a few countries. By the way, I've also started to hear some Spanish as I've been walking around. So I'm just walking aimlessly. I see there's a W.H. Smith's located at gate 406, and they have newspapers and confectionery. Well, now confectionery would go down quite nicely. So where on earth is gate 406? It's down here. Maybe I won't have it because I've just had breakfast. But you know how when you've had a kind of a bacon and sausage and egg breakfast, a bit of sweetness on top of it wouldn't be any harm. This looks like, oh, there's a tiny W.H. Smith's, really. It's not the kind I was looking for. I was looking for a bookshop. I fancy a bookshop, and I'm walking around here. It's a really tiny kind of kiosk type place. And just to give you an idea, I'm going to go and share with you the headlines in the newspapers here, and that will ground what is happening here. The front page headline in the Irish Independent today is Rabbit, that's RABBITTE, in case you're confused by that. Rabbit appoints coalition cronies to jobs on state board. You can't compete, can you, with that? Okay, so Pat Rabbit has quietly appointed two coalition cronies. In Ireland, the government is a coalition, and cronies is a word used to, you know, describe as people to whom he's beholden or people whom he's personally friendly with. He put a Labour Party by-election candidate, I presume somebody who got defeated, and a former Fine Gael TD, that would have been, you know, to balance it all up, on the board of Bord na Mona. Now, there'd be plenty of... This is a nice little number for somebody in Ireland. But anyway, that's the front page there. Also, Claire Byrne, who's RTE, a television, radio and television presenter, she brought her family along to a garden party with the President of Ireland in a place called Oris on Uachtaráin. So there are the house prices rising by over 10%. And Luis Suarez is on the brink. He's accused of biting. Imagine a grown man biting another grown man on the shoulder during a football game. I can imagine it happening in other situations, but not during a football game, surely. And then there's a magazine which features iconic supermodels. The Irish Times, on the other hand, has got a photograph in the front of the bear necessities, a polar bear under sea ice, melting sea ice. This is scary stuff. Under melting sea ice in Hudson Bay, Canada, taken during a heat wave which threatens the poor old polar bear's habitat. Anyway, there's a Wildlife Photographer of the Year exhibition opening in Dublin tomorrow, in case you're interested. It's in the CHQ. Haven't a clue what that is. Anyway, Italy is calling for fiscal leeway. Oh yeah, well, this is Irish officials hopeful that Europe may relax strict budget rules to boost growth. Distinction between current and capital expenditure likely to play a key role. Right, that will play a particular role in relation to the next government in Ireland. Because if we get some more growth, the government's chances of getting re-elected are higher. Now, in the World Cup again, we have Uruguay rallies behind Suarez. Well, I bet you they do. I mean, they're in danger of losing their star player. Anyway, it's going on and on and on. Now, let's go to the Cork, national paper from Cork here. It's called the Irish Examiner, and it talks about 8.6 billion in SME loans in 90-day arrears. Oh my goodness, 8.6 billion loans, one in every four held by banks to small and medium businesses are in arrears of over 90 days. That is scary stuff, actually. Right, Cabinet confidentiality rules out bank guarantee probe. Oh, I like this. Think about this now. The Irish Parliament has appointed an inquiry to investigate what went on in Irish banking, but they've been advised they cannot investigate what is called the dramatic late-night ministerial talks which approve the bank guarantee, because they're covered by Cabinet confidentiality. Imagine confidentiality being used to prevent the Irish public from finding out what really did happen. What shenanigans are going on behind the scenes? You can be absolutely sure there will be a number of individuals who will be concerned about their reputation in history and will be entirely pleased if things can be kept quiet. Whether they can be is another matter. I suppose Kieran Lynch, who chairs this committee, his reputation is on the line, because if he doesn't press forward and make sure all this stuff comes out into the open air, his reputation in history will be interesting. Anyway, there we are. Brendan O'Connor, the person behind Mrs. Brown's Boys, and his wife, Jenny Gibley, are featured in the front page of the paper. And this is all ahead of a world premiere of a film called Mrs. Brown's Boys, The Movie, which premiered, it looks like, in the Savoy Cinema in Dublin last night. So there we are. That's kind of the day on which... Well, I suppose I should give you the red tops. The Irish Sun says, big headline, Suarez needs to grow up. Nigeria were beaten by Algeria, 2-3. And then the big one, which is somebody's murder trial. Shot four times, bagged and dumped. Oh, God, it's all about a teenage girl who was assassinated or murdered or something. That's it. So, look, I've got to W.H. Smith's. I've had my way with W.H. Smith's. They're selling half price, buying one and sell one at half price. I'm attracted by a book called Thinking Fast and Slow by Daniel Kahneman. If I didn't have other books to read, The Illusion of Understanding, that would be a chapter I fancy. Let me just actually read you the first bit of The Illusion of Understanding by Daniel Kahneman. The trader, philosopher, statistician Nassim Taleb could also be considered a psychologist. In The Black Swan, Taleb introduced the notion of a narrative fallacy to describe how flawed stories of the past shape our views of the world and our expectations of the future. How flawed stories of the past shape our views of the world and our expectations of the future. They certainly do. I could tell you a few flawed stories of the past related to Ireland. Narrative fallacies arise inevitably from our continuous attempt to make sense of the world. Pretty obvious statement, that. The explanatory stories that people find compelling are simple, absolutely true, are concrete rather than abstract, absolutely I agree, assign a larger role to talent, stupidity and intentions than to luck. That's an interesting sentence. A larger role to talent, stupidity and intentions than to luck, and focus on a few striking events that happened rather than on the countless events that failed to happen. Any recent salient event is a candidate to become the kernel of a casual narrative. Taleb suggests that we humans constantly fool ourselves by constructing flimsy accounts of the past and believing they are true. Well, I kind of agree and I disagree, because I actually think that certain groups of people construct stories about the past very purposefully in order to achieve a particular objective. And all political movements do that. They construct a view of the past deliberately. And all pressure groups do the same. Everybody does the same. Now, here's a slight quote at the end of that particular chapter. The mistake appears obvious, but it is just hindsight. You could not have known it in advance. These are statements about hindsight. Let's not fall for the outcome bias. This was a stupid decision, even though it worked out well. Anyway, there we are. Little chapter in a book, which might be a damn good read. Other books that are here. Martin Sixsmith has one called Philomena. That looks like a novel. The Real Mrs. Brown by Brendan Carroll. Downton Abbey by Ross O'Connell. Joseph O'Connor, The Thrill of It All. Maeve Binchy, Maeve's Times. Simon Fitzmaurice, Not Yet Dark. Anything here I'm interested in? See if I could find anything else here. A book by Dan Brown, Inferno. One by Lee Child, Never Go Back. The Inferno, you buy one of them. Yeah, you have to take that price. If you buy another book, you could buy Donner Tart at half price. If you, and you'd have a whole lot of weight. $11.70 for Donner Tart in euros.
I just want to get rid of.
And you won't get two books for that much money, my dear. You're going to have to. You're going to have to find some really.
Maybe I'll go back to the playing card.
Okay, there we are. Okay, this is it. A bit of fun on the way to the airplane, I guess. And that's actually the first human being I've spoken to in this airport. Here. Could do with a decent coffee place. Okay, Paula Manisingh, thanks ever so much for this lesson. See you later.